So it was,
well, welcome back to the second half here of Full Spectrum Cannabis, you guys. We left, there was a slight loss of the train of thought, right?
Yeah.
Before the end, yeah, no problem, it happens.
I do it.
What were we talking about?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out.
We were talking about the tribes.
Yeah. We were talking about the legalities around it. It was really testing and transparency around testing and products being safe.
So for customers who are looking to buy products, I feel like if you go to a licensed dispensary, you should be able to easily determine where these products came from, what they are, and where they were grown, who produced them, and you should be able to see the test results. And, I found that's not always an easy thing to do. And I'm hoping that, if they do start selling off of tribal lands, that there will be more, a bit more transparency there. Yeah. And to be clear, it's not all the tribes. I've been trying to, every time a new dispensary opens up, I've been trying to, have a look at what they're selling, what kind of interesting products, who they're doing business with. And, some have been fairly easy to determine. Some have been more challenging.
Right. For sure. So good that it's there, but let's make sure that it's safe because, even the homegrown that just got harvested not long ago, right? I'm getting that tested.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Just for the fun of it, right? But then also make sure, it was outdoor. Like, what's even going to happen? It's just out there living in the world like a normal cannabis plant should be. But when it's indoor, there's a little bit more that's going on with it. And for sure, we probably need to have more testing around it. But even homegrown.
Yeah.
Right? Because you can test it and it's really not that expensive. There's, last episode, go and check out last episode. You can find out some different ways on how to get your homegrown tested and it doesn't cost you too much scratch.
That is really cool. Now for Nuggets, Matt, you invite people to send in their photos.
Yes. Yes. So every week we publish a photo from a home grower and I welcome submissions. There's a little form in the newsletter, but I think that's a really fun part of it, showing off plants that people are proud of. And, I think people who are interested in cannabis enjoy looking at nice photos of plants. And
and perhaps they're Nuggets.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of pictures?
Not as many as I would like to have, so
okay.
I certainly encourage people to send away. But I've had enough to include one every week, but it would be nice to have a broader selection, certainly.
Yeah, for sure. Colorful photos, send them. Yes. Send them and send your nuggets.
Colorful nuggets.
Mm-hmm. Colorful nuggets, full plants.
Yeah.
Your head climbing through a plant. It's quite difficult to do without wrecking things, so maybe don't do that. Mm-hmm. But you wonder why you've got a little bit of trichomy ears. I don't know how trichomy ears doesn't go viral.
Oh, my God.
Right?
So Matt, we talked about, some of the challenges you've experienced. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things you like the most about doing Nuggets and the people you're interviewing and places you're going, because I'm sure you jump in your car and you drive.
Yeah, sometimes.
Drive a lot, yeah.
I need to go out in the field more. It's, it can be hard to find time to do it. But my goal going forward is to, at least visit a store or a business or, when there is cultivation, a cultivator, once a week. I'm not quite there now. But, definitely the most fun part of the job is, getting out there and meeting the people who are, working in the industry. I think there's a lot of very smart and interesting and innovative people who are jumping in. And it's kind of brave, I feel like. Some of them are, leaving their careers and starting a new one. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's really fascinating to see, all this stuff happening organically and in preparation for, the retail market launch. And there's lots of people in the hemp, side as well.
Sure.
I include them in this. But yeah, meeting these people and hearing their stories, because all of them have some kind of origin story, and some of them are making, you know, very interesting products. Mm-hmm. So that's what I enjoy the most.
What about following? So cultivation, when we can cultivate, right? But we can cultivate on the homegrown side mm-hmm. of it, right? So we just, we were talking about harvest a little bit there. Well, we've gone indoors now, mm-hmm. right? It's because we live where we live, right? So now that we've gone indoors, there is harvest that will come, and it'll come at varying time frames. And you could cover homegrown harvest. Yeah. Like once a month, you at least would be able to pop in, you know, to somebody's home that's got, you know, you've got the person that's got the small tent. Mm-hmm. You've got the person that's got the double wide tent. And then you've got the person that's got the mansion tent. You know what I mean? And it's three different ways of how it is that they're growing, and to show some of your followers and readers, what does that look like, right? Like there's folks like myself that, sure, I would, but maybe I don't have the time. You know, Calandra doesn't have the time, but she'll probably still do it. and then there's that outdoor time of next year that's going to be pretty fantastic. But you know, what are people's different setups? What are their recommendations? Maybe it's like a little fun thing, you know, another segment of the of nuggets.
Now, Matt, before you jump in, mm-hmm. can I please answer this guy?
Yeah. Okay.
So he you are partly correct that even though I don't have time, I'll still figure it out. So I just want to jump in real quick and say something. So we have ordered. They should be here next week. I made sure they were here in time for Black Friday.
Yeah.
So we've ordered these grow cans. So if you've ever heard of a grow can.
I've heard of a tomato sack that they grow tomatoes out of, like in the air and things like that. But now you're talking about a grow
better.
Can.
Okay. Yes. So at the dispensary, what we will have, you can get a whole grow can. So it's the can, the seeds, the fertilizer, everything all in one container.
Mm-hmm.
And all you have to do is water it. So for someone that doesn't have time to like figure all of this out, guess what? I made it easy for myself and for good Zen customers.
Heck so yeah.
It's, and I've got some real, I've got watermelon gelato. I've got runts. I've got Granddaddy Purp. Wait till you see all the different flavors that are flavors of nuggets. So
here's the fun thing. Once it's started from the seed, right, it's a weed. It's really not that difficult in order to figure it out, right? Like water it. And if you overwater it, the plant will tell you. And if you underwater it, the plant's probably going to be like, whatever, I'll wait. So you won't kill it like your house plant.
Right.
Is really what I'm saying.
Right.
Right. Right. As long as it's started and once it sprouts and does what it does,
yeah.
You just need to water it every once in a while and maybe give it some light.
Yeah. You have a lot of professionals who, you know, they would like to grow at home, but they don't have time to figure out the mechanics of what kind of soil do I need, how much light in. So I've made it very, very easy for them.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it. We should talk more about tents and different other fun things that
I love
that you can get a little involved in if it's really just not for anything other than our own benefit in wholesale pricing because you have a store. But
I do want to do more stuff around home growing, and it's just a matter of taking some time to think and figure it out. If someone wants to invite me to their home to like see their grow, I would be happy to do that. You know, in some cases, maybe not all, but yeah, no, there's definitely a lot there to explore. It's just when you're doing a weekly newsletter, it can be a little bit of a challenge that you're always like on a hamster wheel.
Right.
Yeah.
You gotta figure out what the next thing is.
Yeah.
Taking a moment to sit back and like think of new ideas is something vital and something that I don't get to do enough. But I do want to do more with like home growing.
I have the name.
Okay.
Okay.
Little grow, middle grow, bigger grow. Bigger grow. Right? Or you could go the other way. And bigger maybe doesn't sound the best, but either way, the other ones sound great. So, all right, workshop it maybe. I don't know.
Are you going to MJ Biz?
No, I'm not there yet. You know, I don't have a, I don't really have a budget at all for Nuggets.
Because we need to talk to your boss then.
Yeah, I mean, I welcome that. you know, maybe at some point, certainly when the retail market is launched and there's, you know, more of a presence there for, you know, adult use businesses, you know, people going to Las mm-hmm. Vegas for that. I would definitely like to go, but I think the business case for, you know, to my bosses for me going is a tough one to make.
Yeah.
We need to sign a petition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's a couple of $1,000?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're like, but it's budget and we've got accountants. Well, that was the problem right there. Accountants are great. Yeah. Accountants are great.
Because I think that for people who are not going to MJ Biz, it would be nice to read about it in your mm-hmm. in your newsletter.
Certainly. Maybe not this year, it's coming up too soon, but maybe next year we can yeah. try to make that mm-hmm. happen.
Yeah. Well, there's MJ Unpacked too, so that's like a little bit that's more of a crushable journey, let's say. Like they had some action and it'll be in Chicago, it'll be in St. Louis, it'll mm-hmm. be, you know, it'll be close-ish, if not, I don't know why it wouldn't be here next year. As far as MJ Unpacked, then people can stop flying over the state. They know it's good. They just haven't found a reason to stop yet.
Yeah. So I have just a couple questions around what you've seen in terms of diversity. Mm-hmm. Do you think that Minnesota is, in terms of race, people getting into the industry, mm-hmm. do you think it's much more diverse from what you've seen so far in other states?
I would say, there's a couple ways to look at that, I guess. I mean, the adult use market right now is, you know, completely dominated by the tribes. So I think, you know, that's, you know, it's the broader, you know, white Minnesota community. I think there's a lot of white people getting into the business, obviously. But I mean, I have seen a fair amount of, you know, younger, primarily African-American entrepreneurs. I'm sure there will be, you know, people from the Hmong community and whatnot getting into it. It's a little hard to say. I mean, the people I've interacted with who are in the community are mostly white, though there have definitely been exceptions to that. And then, of course, like, there's the Indian tribes, like I said. So I don't know that I'd say it's more diverse. I'd say there's definitely some diversity in there, and I think it will probably get more diverse over time. Certainly once we see, you know, the social equity, which social equity applicants are granted licenses, you know, that'll be a telling moment mm-hmm. right there. You know.
Right. Well, I do have another quick question. I was mm-hmm. going to ask you a question about mm-hmm. diversity, but that leads me to another question.
Sure. Yes.
So what do you think, in your opinion, is going to happen to the spirits market versus the THC beverage market? Do you think people are going to continue to consume less alcohol?
I mean, that seems to be the trend, certainly among younger people. Mm-hmm. They're drinking less alcohol and consuming more, you know, cannabis, and a lot of that is in beverages and edibles and stuff like that. I don't see any reason why that would slow down. I think, you know, generally, my guess is that will continue and people will continue drinking less. It's very interesting that here in Minnesota that, you know, liquor stores are allowed to sell, you know, cannabis beverages and right. edibles and stuff like that, hemp-derived stuff. So, you know, they're not missing out as much as they would otherwise, you know, probably in other states if they're, you know, where they're not allowed to do that, at least they can make up the income somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a very interesting trend that people are drinking less now that they have access to cannabis. And I have friends that don't drink at all. And, you know, maybe they're in recovery or something like that, but now they can go to the tap room and, you know, have a THC beverage and hang out with everybody, yeah. whereas before they just stayed away completely. Yeah. So that's been very interesting.
Well, it's good to have you covering it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. OCM, right? We kind of touched on that a little mm-hmm. bit, but let's go a little bit further into it. We have heard and heard and heard, all right, January 2025, right? And like, it's just around the corner. it's just around the corner. And I've heard like, all right, well, first quarter maybe.
And I'm sure you were on the call this morning with DLI Pipeline.
I was not actually. I was doing other stuff. And
he found better things to do.
No, I mean, I was getting the newsletter done, and yeah. I had to do some stuff at work.
So what? And then I heard summer of 2025, and then I heard don't even think about 2025. Like nobody's ready, right? Social equity. We've heard from the sitting or stand-in or however we want to talk about the OCM director, kind of addressing some rumors that, hey, this isn't happening or this is taking way longer than it's supposed to be taking. Like, remember, we still have to be able to cultivate first, right? Like, retail, everything, like people have been spending money and spending money and spending money and spending money. Sure, we're trying to time the market, so it's on them and it's on us to do that the right way, and we're taking the risks that we need to take. But what do you know if you do? And if you don't, then what would be your best guess, right? Because I'm a little bit more in the camp of I don't see it next summer. I see it taking like almost a year from,
but which
from
part?
Now.
Which part? The
actual retail sales. Oh. Actual retail sales outside of tribal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're thinking 2026.
I am.
I'm not far from there.
Okay. Well, I can tell you, I mean, I interviewed Charlene Briner. She's the interim director of the Office of Cannabis Management a couple weeks ago.
Great.
And she said, I mean, what she told me then was she does expect that there will be some businesses able to open in the first half of 2025. You know, we'll see whether that actually happens. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, you can't open a retail store until you have product to sell and, you know, you have a plant that needs to grow, and then you need to process it and package it and all that. So, you know, if they're issuing the first licenses in, she said she was confident that they would, you know, at least be issuing the first round of licenses by the end of, I believe she said, the first quarter of 2025. So if you use that as a starting, yeah, 2025, sorry.
Yep.
If you use that as a starting point, you know, you've got probably 4 months to grow the plant.
Mm-hmm.
If you're ready to go, if you've got your business all lined up, which
sure.
a lot of people are not doing because mm-hmm. of the lottery, and, you know, they don't know that they're going to actually have a license, so they may be hesitant to rent a space and start building out and doing all that work until they know that they will have a license. So there's a lot of question marks there about when things can actually start, even once the licenses, you know, the pre-approved licenses are issued. Say somebody is ready to go at the end of the first quarter of 2025, then, you know, you got 4 months to grow, maybe another month to process and mm-hmm. get stuff ready and ship it to whoever needs it. So that's, we're talking 5 months. So we're into the, you know, second half of the year for sure. I mean, if I had to look into my crystal ball, which I do not want to do, I mean, I would say I suspect like there, we'll start to see some retail stores opening, you know, by the end of the year,
yeah.
Before the end of the year. They'll probably be fairly few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did ask Charlene if, you know, how they're thinking about tribal compacts fitting into this picture and, you know, allowing tribes to open stores in cities outside of tribal lands, and whether they would consider that, you know, meeting the goal of having a retail market. And she said, yes, that's part of it. So that's up to the governor's office. And the OCM does not have control over that. So the governor's office is negotiating with the sovereign tribes. Mm-hmm. It's a government-to-government negotiation. And we don't know what the timeline is there.
Yeah.
I mean, everything I'm hearing is that these negotiations are well advanced, but no agreements have been reached yet. Mm-hmm. So once that happens, I mean, White Earth Nation has a storefront, you know, purchased already in like Moorhead. I don't know the status of like other tribes and, you know, whether they're actually buying property or whatnot, but presumably once there is a compact agreement, White Earth would be ready pretty quickly to start opening businesses. Yeah, I know they've been ramping up their production and stuff like that. So that could be something that sort of fills the gap a little bit in the meantime while we're waiting for licenses to be issued and businesses to open.
Yeah.
And I believe Mystic Lake has, they've already started.
Yeah, been cultivating, right? They're growing.
Is what we had heard. Yeah, and I believe the space next to the gas station has already been gutted to open the dispensary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So people are growing, right? Tribal nations are growing,
yeah,
right?
Certainly.
And when you had mentioned that on a previous podcast that it was Island Pezzi,
mm-hmm.
was it?
Yes, they have a beautiful space now.
And they had been, you know, working on cultivation and things like that. And seeds, we were talking about when are seeds going to be able to get into the ground? And look, it's the end of the year, and we're talking about when are seeds going to get into the ground?
Yeah.
We're still talking about the same thing. but anyway, seeds apparently have gone into the ground. So if we look at the same formula of 4 or 5 months, right, you got to grow. An autoflower is going to do a little bit faster. The photo period might go a little bit longer, but then you've got to... You got to trim and you've got to cure and you've got to do all of that kind of fun stuff before it's even...
To make a nug.
To make a nug, right? So in order to even get to there, that's what that is. And I'm pretty sure this was 5 months ago. So we might have Minnesota-grown flower in one of these tribal dispensaries soon enough.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is. I mean, Red Lake Nation and White Earth Nation are, you know, already selling their own Minnesota grown flower.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I've heard a number of reports that other tribes are, you know, building out facilities and stuff like that. Prairie Island being one of them. But I haven't heard lately like how far along they are. I imagine they're probably getting closer to actually starting to plant. So yeah, I mean, I think they will fill the gap, and it seems like they're going to have a nice long head start to corner a part of the market. It'll be interesting to see how they fare when, you know, there are more businesses getting licensed and they have more competition. You know, some of them are, you know, kind of far out from, you know, the population centers and, you know, what does that mean? Like, will they still have the market share? Will they have a sustainable business? That'll be really interesting to watch.
Yeah, definitely will.
So how do you know if a product is from Arizona? Like, do you buy something and just, is it on the package where it originated from?
It's on their menu. It says, so in the case of the Off the Path dispensary, which is the Lower Sioux's new one that just opened like last weekend, it says, you know, on the menu, it's on the Dutchie website that has menus for all kinds of dispensaries. It says the flower comes from, it said Route 66, and then the concentrates were from Dr. Dabbs. So I started trying to find where these products came from, and it traces back to this, you know, company in Arizona. It's Great White Farms is the parent company. It's owned by a guy from Minnesota named Curtis White, and he is I was told by their attorney that he's a part owner of MN Roots, which is a hemp company here. So he's from Minnesota. I believe he lives in Arizona. I haven't dug into him too much, but so he connected with the Lower Sioux tribe somehow. I don't know, but they're in a business arrangement. And their attorney told me that Great White Farms is procuring flour and concentrates for the tribe, and they're doing the packaging and stuff on tribal land in Minnesota, I believe. Mm. So that's what I was able to find out, but I wasn't able, you know, so if they're getting, they're procuring flower from like quote unquote licensed sources is what the attorney told me. But I didn't get more information about what those sources were, mm-hmm. where they are, who's growing it. I didn't see any, you know, certificates of analysis to see the lab reports. So all I know is what people have told me.
Sure.
And it's not a lot of information, unfortunately. Which is unfortunate because, like I said, I feel like people should easily be able to get this information from a licensed dispensary. You know, I tried talking to the Off the Path dispensary and people affiliated with it, and I got no calls back. So,
got it.
Call Matt.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're somebody who just, I call, please call me back.
Just call Matt.
I'm not out to get
Matt.
You.
He doesn't bite.
I just want to know where your products
come
from.
Yeah, he doesn't bite. He's harmless.
Yeah.
He just wants to know.
Right.
Just want a good tell guy, call him.
Yeah. You want to know what one of the best things to do is? Make sure they don't have to dig. Because when you get them digging, then they're ready.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
They're going after something.
If you just talk to me, like, it's probably going to be a better outcome. You know? Or I'll write something that will be more... I will certainly write something that has more of your perspective in it if you talk to me versus not talking to me.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because as a journalist, you got to do some investigation, right?
Well, certainly. I mean, I'm pretty good at digging up information online, like, you know, and finding the right people to talk to. But if they don't talk to me, then I have to go with the information I can find and not your perspective as somebody who I'm trying to talk to. So,
which is true of most journalists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's definitely, if you want to get your side out there, it's definitely, you know, in your interest to talk to
the journalists,
but
for sure. So we probably have just a few minutes. Yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Ooh, correct.
Timekeeper.
Yes.
Timekeeper.
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Mm-hmm. Like there's no room for any, like we usually got some room for some editing of things out. Like sure this that we just talked about.
Yeah.
Me right now talking randomly about a timekeeper. All right, back to it. What last thoughts maybe?
What is your favorite story that you covered?
Ooh. My favorite story that I covered. It's hard to say. I mean, I really enjoyed going up to White Earth's cultivation facility back when we first launched the newsletter and seeing all of that and what they're doing up there. I mean, it is very cool, and it's not something you get to see. You don't, for me at least, like it's the only time I've ever seen like what 2,500 square feet of plants looks like. And
yeah,
that's a lot of plants, and it's pretty impressive when you see it. So that was really cool, getting to travel up there and see what the White Earth Nation is doing up there. Another story that I really thought was fun, even though it wasn't like a particularly positive story, was the one that I interviewed you for, Calandra, about the conference, the Lucky Leaf conference that came through here, just because like that was a lot of digging and like talking to a lot of people. And you know, for those that didn't read the story, a lot of the vendors at the Lucky Leaf conference that came through Minneapolis earlier this year were quite unhappy because the organizers told them that they would be allowed to sell their products and make some money there, only to be shut down when it came. So I just started pulling on the thread, like, you know, what happened here? Why are all these people under the impression that they could do something that they were not allowed to do? And it came out that, you know, ultimately when I talked to the venue, they were like, no, they were never going to be allowed to do that because it's against our policy and it's in the contract. And so Lucky Leaf, the organizers were telling people things that just were not true. And I did have quite a few people talking to me, and I just felt like it made for an interesting story, just, you know, how... And it's not just like cannabis conferences. I think a lot of conferences in all sorts of industries, like, you know, the organizers tend to make big promises that they don't always deliver on. And so I just thought that was a fun story to do.
Yeah. I did get all my money back, by the way.
Did you? Okay, that's great.
Ooh, you got your money back.
And people got their money back. I mean, I think, not to like toot my own horn, but I think that probably helped people get their money back.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that it worked out for you.
Yeah.
And anytime you see Calandra walking towards you and you've done something wrong to her, you should give her the money back.
Yeah. I certainly would not mess with you.
I agree. I mess well, with her you. All of the time. But it's coming to me someday, right? Every once in a while, a little jam from Calandra comes in sideways.
But like this morning.
Yeah, sure. Exactly. All right. Well, fantastic. Matt, thanks.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I had a good time here.
We appreciate you. Right. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks.